Okay, so the mind we're going to learn today was delivered by the Rebbe on Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar, which was Erev Shavuos, just like it is this year. The year was 1985, and it starts with the words, Usfartem lechem mimachras haShabbos. You should count from the day after Shabbos, miyoyim haviyachem esemer hatnufa, from the day after you bring the wave offering, sheva Shabbosais temimais tiyena. The counting should take place during the course of seven complete or intact weeks. This is a pasuk, a verse in Parshas Emor, which was a parsha a few weeks ago, and it introduces us to the mitzvah of what we know colloquially as Sfirat HaOmer. V'yaduim diyukei rabbeinu nesiyenu b'zeh. So our Rebbeim analyzed in a very, very exacting way the precise language that's employed here, as many Maamarim begin, seeking to uncover deeper truths and teachings by analyzing the exact verbiage, the precise language, and trying to see what might be beneath that. This is found in the Rishimus of the Tzemach Tzedek. The Rebbe says there's a memorandum from the Mittel Rebbe that are soon going to be printed about this, in addition to the memorandum that are known. And the question is, why does it say Mimachras HaShabbos? Shaharei HaKavona Bezehi Mimachras HaPesach. It's not really Sunday. It's the day after the first day of Pesach. So Pesach is a seven-day holiday in the Bible. In Eretz Yisrael, it's still celebrated for 7 days. The first day is a Yom Tov. That's called Pesach. The last day is Yom Tov. We call it the Yom HaMachreinim, because for us it's 2 days. Because outside of Eretz Yisrael, the one day of Yom Tov, with the exception of Yom Kippur, is expanded into 2 days of Yom Tov. A story and a narrative for another class. But that's what happens. So in the Torah, it's very clear that the first day of Pesach should be a Yom Tov, and that the last day of Pesach should be a Yom Tov. And in between, we refer to these days as Chol HaMoed, weekday, which is, well, it's not really so weekday. It's Moed, it's Chol, it's weekday, but it's weekday which has a holiday element to it. So the first day requires full cessation of work. It's Yom Tov. The second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, all the way up to the seventh day, are days that require some cessation of work. We avoid something called Davar HaAvud. If you won't do a certain work, if that would cause a loss, so then that's something we wouldn't do. But if it's something that wouldn't cause a loss, then it's permitted. And inasmuch as in Yom Tov it's permitted to cook, on Chol HaMoed it's permitted to do virtually everything, except go to work, except actively do things which could and should be pushed off until after Yom Tov. So Shabbos, the word Shabbos at its root source, organically speaking, means lishbot, which means to strike, or to stop, cessation. So in modern Hebrew, a strike is called the Shvita. Why? Because it's a strike. Nobody's going to work that day. It's like struck out. We're not doing this. It's been removed from circulation. We're going to cease all activities. So the idea of Shabbos means cessation, or cessation of regular activities. And in that sense, when it says Mimachras HaShabbos, it means from the day after there's a full cessation of work, which means the day after the first day of Pesach. But usually, or typically, when we refer to the term Shabbos or Shabbat, what are we talking about? The seventh day of the week. We're not talking about Yom Tov. Even though it's called, Yom Tov is also called a day of Shabbat of sorts. And even though when we make a Mishaberach on Yom Tov, we say Shabbati Milizok, which doesn't mean it's Shabbat so we can't cry out. It means we should cease crying out. We shouldn't, so to speak, petition heaven in the typical fashion today. But nonetheless, why is it that the Torah chooses to refer to Machras HaPesach and instead call it Machras HaShabbos? So you could say big deal. So the Torah decided to emphasize the notion that there's no work. So, well, it actually is a big deal. Because there were these groups of heretical Jews, Jews who believed in the general notion of divine revelation at Sinai, but did not believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, did not believe in the sages. So they were missing Vayamid, they had Vayamina Ba'Hashem, but they were missing Uva Moshe Avdei. And if you only believe in Hashem, but you don't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, then you end up being a heretic Jew. Then you end up veering off the path of Yiddishkeit, because the Torah has two equally important dimensions, the written and the oral. The written is what we have in the scripture. The oral is what was passed down from generation to generation, from sage to sage. So these Jews in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, one of the groups, the multiple groups, one of the groups called Baisusim. And the Baisusim, They were mutz and makim litteis. They found room to make a mistake. They said, oh, this is a mitzvah to do on Machras HaShabbos. Shabbos is the seventh day. This mitzvah starts on the first day of the week, on Sunday. So the question then is, the Torah chooses to use an unusual verbiage, an unusual expression. It's the only time ever in the Torah that Shabbat doesn't refer to the seventh day of the week. And this caused a great deal of confusion, as the Talmud Tzedek actually brings down. So the obvious question is, why did the Torah choose to couch it in those terminology? First of all, why couch in that terminology altogether? It's altogether strange. But more importantly, that unusual terminology actually cost us a tremendous amount of grief. There was all kinds of issues. Many Jews went away from Torah, and this is one of their major things that they, so to speak, hung their hats on. Gam, another diuk is, Ma'u inyan sheva shabbosis tmimis tiyena. Why do we talk about this idea of seven intact weeks, seven complete weeks? Why does it say perfect? Why does it say intact? Why doesn't it just say 7 weeks? 7 weeks, that's all. A week is a week. Any way you slice it, a week is 7 days. What do you mean it's perfect weeks? What's the emphasis of perfect? Why bother mentioning perfect? Why does the Torah use the word usfartem? We're allow in the book of Bamidbar. In the book of Bamidbar, there's a lot of counting going on, and the word sfira is not the word that's used. There are other languages of minui or minyan, pekuda. It's not sfira. And finally, what's with lochem? Vihine, nekudas habir bezahi. The kernel, if you will, of the explanation, as is distilled through the diffusion of Teres Achsidus, is the inyan sfira sa'imer hu ha'achon alamatan teire. That sfira sa'imer, besides its literal iteration, which is related to agriculture, besides the fact that it's connected to the very first offering, the wave offering, and all of the ideas that that contains, on a philosophical and a deeper level of what we're going to call mitzvah metaphor, the idea of this mitzvah is the hachana, that we're supposed to be preparing for the giving of the Torah that comes, of course, 7 weeks after going out of Mitzrayim. But from the time we leave Mitzrayim, immediately we're supposed to be counting up or preparing for Shavuos. The Yetzias Mitzrayim in Yona hu iskafya bilvad. Yetzias Mitzrayim represents, within the frame of Avodas Hashem, the concept of iskafya. And iskafya means to crush or subdue. It doesn't mean to do away with evil. It means to inhibit and stop evil in its tracks. V'loy bitlohra. It doesn't get rid of the evil, and leaving Mitzrayim didn't get rid of the threat that Mitzrayim posed. K'mishu Kosov, like it says, ki barach ha'am, that the people, they ran for their lives. U'mavur b'tanya, shezeu mishum shahara shebenaf shesam hayadayim b'tekef. We weren't afraid of the evil, of the negativity that the Egyptians themselves represented. No, we were afraid you could take a Jew out of Mitzrayim, they said. But you cannot take Mitzrayim out of a Jew. We're afraid of their own evil. We're afraid of their own issues and problems. That was why we had to run. So therefore, when the iron was hot, we struck. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, now. And if we delayed and we did it slowly, who knows what would happen? We wouldn't even leave Mitzrayim. So the Ra, any negative energy was still in full-blown proportion. Therefore, there has to be the Aveda of Sfira Sa'imer. And what do we do when we count the Omer? It's Aveda. It's called, in the language of Chassidus, Milmato Lemailo. You're counting up. We don't count down. We count up. We're going Milmato Lemailo, from a lower place, from a place where evil lurks, and it's a very real issue. And we're going into a place where evil won't lurk, where the light will literally banish all of the darkness. It'll chase away all the darkness. The Lashon Usfartem, because the word Usfartem, pardon me, Yoyim Achar Yoyim, day after day, you count up Ad Shemagiyim until you reach El HaYoyim, until the day of Matan Torah. And that's why it says Usfartem. Precisely because this is not just an ordinary counting, but rather a counting up. Precisely because we're not just enumerating days, but we're experiencing a paradigm shift as we move from level to level and come closer to Hashem, put ourselves in a higher spiritual frame, reorient and elevate our consciousness and our perspective so that when Hashem is ready to give us His Torah, we're there ready to take it, to accept it. So that's why it says usfartem, not the other kind of languages of counting, because this is not a typical kind of counting. This is usfartem kind of counting. Oh, what's that? What's usfartem kind of counting? How does this business of milmata lumaila, going from a lower place, counting up, how does that dovetail or jibe with the idea of usfartim? Ah, says the Rebbe, because this comes from the same terminology which we find elsewhere in biblical literature, like, for example, the 19th chapter of the book of Psalms, that it says, miloshen hashamayim misaprim, the heavens, literally, it sounds like, are telling. There's a story being told. Shepirushay, that the meaning of this is, as it says in the Zohar, the nehirin v'nitzitzin v'nitzitzu nekudei la, that the heavens are shining, the heavens radiate with incredible, holy, supernal light. Miloshen Evan Saper, this comes from the similar expression of a luminescent, precious gemstone. Hainu ha'aveda d'sviris ha'omer. In other words, the aveda of this counting is not just counting, but in yonu ha'amshach ha'sa'er ba'amides. The idea is to illuminate our behavioral and emotional traits. And you have to illuminate that. So you're elevating, so to speak, the animal soul. By bringing light into it, you're in effect causing a maturity and an elevation. Because it's not just about harnessing or actualizing light. It's ba'ifin, it's in a manner, that which is lightless now becomes lightful. That which was dark now all of a sudden is illuminated. That it should be clarified and crystallized. And it should be elevated. And it should be muchanim, they should be prepared, al kabbalah sa'teira, for the receiving of the Torah. For matan Torah, for Hashem, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the Torah. So really and truly, what we do as human beings in the beginning of our lives, and hopefully we continue this, although many people don't, is we enhance and change our midos. Children do not go to nursery school to learn arithmetic or to study social studies. That's not what they go to nursery school for. What's the most important lesson you learn? You learn how to be a mensch. That's what you learn how to be. That's what we used to interview teachers in nursery. We used to ask them questions. There's always some teachers don't know what they're talking about. It's like in theory. Said, what do you want to see the children finish by the first year of nursery? And we knew right away if the teacher says, well, I want them to be able to say the whole alphabet and the table of arithmetic. And it's okay, find another school to teach it. That's great, it's not going to work. Why? Because what we're really hoping a teacher would say is, I want the children to be well adjusted. I want the children to learn how to share. I want the children to learn about responsibility. I want to teach them that if they make a mess, they have to clean up afterwards. So, oh, now we're talking. So a human being by his nature is a selfish little creep, a little monster who screams all night, doesn't let you sleep, doesn't care about anybody else but itself, a self-centered little creature. That's not menschlich, that's not nice. It's perfectly fine if you're a few months old. But if you're a few years old and you're still playing that game, we have a problem. If you're a few decades old and you play that game, we have a huge problem. That's like almost insurmountable. These are the kind of people you want to stay away from, these toxic people who we say they act like a baby. So you act like a baby. You didn't get your way, so you're stamping your feet, so you're having a fit, you're yelling and screaming. You can't think about somebody else for a change. That's really, really bad. It's a problem. So what do we have to do in becoming a mensch, in elevating ourselves, in coming close to Hashem? What do we need to do? What we need to do, invariably, is elevate our midos. We have to elevate the way we relate to others. It's not just about being intelligent. There are lots of smart people out there. It's about being a mensch. It's about the midos tevis. So when we count Sfiras HaOmer, it's not just about counting days. It's about elevating ourselves. It's about transforming ourselves. And we transform ourselves in the way that you're supposed to transform yourself. And that is related to light. And that is related to illumination and luminescence. And that's what Sfiras HaOmer is. Now, the truth is, though, even though Sfiras HaOmer is milmata lemaila, it's from a lower place, and you're moving into a higher state of consciousness and attitudinal mannerisms in life, yesh begam inyan shalom shacha milmaila lemata. In fairness, Sfira doesn't only represent counting up. It doesn't only represent taking a piece of your life and elevating it. You picking yourself out of the gutter so that you are able to receive the Torah. So when Hashem comes to give the Torah, you say, yeah, I'm here, I get that. I relate to it. There's an unbelievable thing now. The whole world's talking about Yanni or Lauren. You ever heard this? The whole world, why does this happen in Ashgacha Pratis, right? What's happened a few days before Shavuos? Because it shows you that what's said is not what you're going to hear necessarily. There's different pitches, and you're not going to hear it. So it's possible that a Yid didn't prepare himself, and he can't hear that high pitch, and all he hears is Yanni. He doesn't hear Lauren. Everybody else hears Lauren. You don't know about this? You're like the last guy on the planet doesn't know about this. It's all over the place. You remember the dress that was red, blue, and black? So this is the audio version of it. Mm-hmm. It's a word, and some people hear Yanni and some people hear Lauren. It's the craziest thing. Two people listen at the same time and they hear different things. Because hearing is about how you hear it. You need to be mekabel the Torah. And therefore, if a person doesn't receive the Torah, well, Hashem's going to give it. Yeah, Hashem will give it. But what will you hear? You'll hear Yanni, but you're supposed to be hearing Lauren. Or the other way around. So, but in addition to all this, in addition to the changes that we're supposed to make internally, so that we should be able to hear the voice of Hashem, so that we should be able to receive the Torah when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and gives us the Torah, in addition to all of this, yesh begam inyan shel hamshacha mamay lamata. Inasmuch as we count up, there is actualization. There is bringing the energy, the light, the power of divinity into our world. Shehari tchilas ha-sfira hi mimachras ha-pesach. Because not looking at the person or the nefesh, let's talk about the zman, let's talk about time. So it begins mimachras ha-pesach. And Pesach, ha-yegili naila b'yeser. And Pesach was an extraordinary profusion of God's energy and presence that became palpably available, became revealed. Shehari tchilas ha-sfira, because after all, the beginning of Sfira starts from them, right? Until so much so that we say that Hashem, Melech Malchei Amlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King of all kings, God, revealed himself to the Jewish people. They saw, so to speak, God. Bechvedei uva atzmei, God in his full glory. And then what happened after they saw God? Then Ugalim, God redeemed them. The inyan, the bechvedei uva atzmei, the concept of bechvedei, by his glory, by his honor, ba'atzmei, all alone, God himself. This refers to, in Hasidic lexicon, of the energy of divinity as it exists prior to the fact that God diminishes his light so that existence should be able to emerge. So much so that it refers to the level of the essence of divinity for which we have no terminology to use because we're in the dark, we just say the essence. It's with this power that of that revelation, which on some spiritual level happens every single year on the night of Pesach. That's how we're able to draw forth or draw down the energy of Sfira Sa'imer, which is Mimochras HaPesach. In other words, what are we doing? We're taking the energy of Pesach. So we now take that energy, bring it down, bring it forth. So we're not just counting up but what we're doing. We're trying to count up, so we shouldn't hear Yanni, instead we should hear Lauren. We should be Makabal the Torah. But in addition to this, there also needs to be a broadcast which is engendered. That's what we say, Hayoim Yoim Echad La'imer. We start off today as one. We don't say Rishon, we say Echad. The Koyal Hamshachas Bechinas HaKeser. The word Echad represents, in the lexicon of Hasidic literature, drawing forth from the level of what's called Keser, also known as Atik, as explained in many places. I'm not going to elaborate now. We have to now draw forth to all details of reality and creation. From the reality of creation, which is known the part of human anthropology, which is called chesed shebechesed. You're motivated by kindness. The act is an overt act of kindness, like the person who feels a need to give and actually gives. So you feel a need to be nice to others, and what you're doing is actually an act of giving. You're actually giving food to somebody who's hungry. What would be gevura shebechesed? You see a person who's hungry, and they're a diabetic. And if they will eat that piece of cake, they will probably go into toxic shock. But they're pleading, they're begging, they're starving, they're hungry. And you say, look, I want to be a good person. I just want to be nice. This person's begging me. How could I say no? And another part of you says, are you an idiot? If you give that person that food, you're going to harm them, not help them. So therefore, what do you decide to do? Because of your chesed, because you're a kind, caring person, because it's not just what's easy for you, but what's right for the other, you don't give them the cake. You're not releasing that food item. So what are you employing? An act of discipline. You're restraining yourself. But that act of restraint, which is an act of gvura, is being motivated by chesed. And so it is all of human behavior. It can be divided up in this array of 49 different mechanisms, possibilities, right? Now we're in Yesod of Malchus. What does that mean? I would take the rest of this class to explain, maybe. But that's not the point. The point is, every day we work on a different element of bringing light into a different part of reality. And that bringing light into a different part of reality is what comes from, it hails from Mimachras HaPesach. And that's why we start off with Echad. Hainu. We go into Prati still, well, we'll start to count tonight. As we count the 49th day, then is Malchus Sheba Malchus. ukemaimer, like the expression is found in the Gemara in Menachos, that it says mitzvah lemimne yoyme, it's a mitzvah to count days, and mitzvah lemimne shavui, it's a mitzvah to count weeks. Shezeu inyan usfartam lachem. This, now we're coming to the picture of a usfartam lachem, count for you. What does this mean? It means sheva shabbos is whole weeks. The betchila hasfira hayoyim yoyim echad laimer. Today is one day, sefirim rak hayomim. In the beginning, we only count days. We don't count weeks. We don't say today is a week of the first, today is the day of the first week, and then count the second day. Today is 2 days, which is moving along in the first week of the Omer. We don't say that. The first week of the Omer, there's no weeks, no mention of week. What do we have? Only days. But after the first week, then we count weeks as well. Until we come to the end of the Sfira, which is Hayoim Mem Tes Yoim. Tonight we'll count, today is 49 days. Shehem Shav Shiva Shavuos, which these are 7 weeks to the Omer. Lachen Ksiv Lachem Shaham Shacha Hi Bepratius. That's why it says Lachem. Lachem is for you. For you means your reality, not God's reality. The reality you call your own, the reality you know, you're familiar with, you're aware of. You have to bring the Ham Shacha. You have to bring that element of divinity. Lachem is Lashon Rabbim, plural. This actualizing, drawing down, is really into a very low level. Like we say, today is one day of the Omer. The Omer, we know that the Omer measurement, the chalice, the cup, comes filled with sa'orim, with barley. And can know that we know that all of the menachos, all of the meal offerings in the Beis HaMikdash Bois, menachitim come of wheat. Except for the mincha of the Omer and the mincha of the wayward wife, the ha-sa'orim, in Michael Behema. Sa'orim generally are couched or categorized in animal fodder. In other words, we're bringing godliness down. We're not just into the realm of human endeavor, even into the world of animals, even into what's called Michael Behema, the animalistic side of people, the dark side of people. But here's the thing, we're still counting up. Because when you do this, the person who's making it happen, they change too. Like it says in the Zohar, that counting for you is like similar to a person who's in a state of ritual impurity because of menstruation and is counting. She counts Shivas Yamim. When you have the idea of usfartim, you should count lachem. Pirush shahalachem yubeifin usfartim. Your lachem should be like an usfartim reality. Usfartim means luminescence. Your lachem should be illuminated. In other words, I know aveda sa'adam bebidr v'zichu chatzmai. That ultimately it comes back to the same point we're counting up. The same point that we're trying to elevate our reality. So we started off in the Maimer explaining how the whole idea of sfida represents elevating ourselves. We should be at a higher level. Then the Rebbe introduces this idea that Sfira Seimer is not just about counting up, elevating, transforming ourselves, but also bringing forth holiness into our life, which is not milmata lamaila, not from below on high, but on the contrary, that's milmata, that's milmaila lamata, from on high below, bringing godly ideas which exist on some spiritual cloud nine, bringing that cloud down into our everyday reality, relating to it in relatable terms in our world, which it naturally isn't. But the Rebbe says, when you do that, invariably you change. You will change. Because when a person brings godliness into this world, he or she changes too as a result. So in the end, regardless of how you look at it or which way you slice it, we are counting up. We are trying to affect change. This is the change that Am Yisrael believes in. The change that every one of us can change. Not has to celebrate who he is or she is, but rather say, who can I become? And to us, we don't believe in I'm just human. We say, be a mensch. Change yourself. We believe in change. We believe that a person can change himself. And that's how we start the year. That when from the first month at Nisan, after Pesach, we started with change. Starting Machsa Pesach, moving up to Shavuos. When we change ourselves, then we come to the Shleimus Sfiras Haemer, which is on the Shleimus, the perfection of counting, which happens, my friends, this Shabbos, the 50th of Sivan, because that's the Hashlama, that's the completion of the Sfira. That's when we say, Sheva Shabbos Has Tumbus Tehiyeno, that's when the weeks will be intact. In other words, you can't just change yourself a little. You got to change yourself entirely, everything. And that's the connection between Sfiras HaEmer and Matan Torah. How Sfiras HaEmer prepares us to receive the Torah. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But now the Rebbe goes into Hikdimu Nasa L'Nishma and what the Jewish people actually did right before Shavuos and how that poised us to be able to receive the Torah and ultimately, as a result of that, to transform and change the world and to bring Mashiach. So, to all of our listeners out there, Shabbat Shalom and a good Yom Tov to everybody. As the Rebbe always used to say in the name of the Friedrich Rebbe, that before Shavuos, we wish each other Kabbalas HaTorah, B'Simcha, U'B'Pnimius. We should be able to accept, to receive the Torah in a state of joy and inward sincerity. May it be for all of us in the best of ways. And enjoy a cheesecake too.